thank you everyone for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls podcast, in which we listen to an episode of the Golden Girls while we watch it. And then we break it down scene by scene because we opened up the Pandora's box and now we're going to write that demon out. So I'm Anthony DeCimito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have two awesome, special, very funny guests. Our first guest is the very funny James Mabry.
Hello.
Hi, James.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So you're visiting. You're visiting for a little bit here in Phoenix.
Yes, trying to do some stand-up while I'm here because I can't do it in LA. So
because of the mics are brutal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So. LA Mikers, put James Mabry on, put him on your shows. He's very funny. And our second guest is also very funny, the very awesome Ian Murdoch.
Hi.
Hi, Ian. What you doing?
Oh, how much? I bought a present for you, actually.
Oh.
What? Yeah. Well, every time I've seen you perform, I noticed that you tend to like to threaten to stab people.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've seen you get through a performance where you don't threaten to stab at least one person. So I bought you this knife. Now you may notice something odd about the knife is that it is made of plastic and it is resting upon a spring, so it is retractable. So now you can stab people.
Yay.
Without the legal consequences.
Wow. So,
and also, as somebody once pointed out, it sounds, if you do this just the right way, it sounds like bed springs.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
You can do a really
stab
good job.
Someone and then I
make
can
it sound like you're having sex with
partner.
Their wife.
Oh my god. My grandpa used to give me these when I was little. Because I used to...
Wait, did you stand up too?
Yes, I did. When I was a... No, well, I wanted...
Grandpa's into weird knives.
I watched Child's Play when I was little, and I wanted to murder people. Like, I wanted to be like...
Naturally.
Yeah.
We all did.
I was like...
I did that one.
Right. Oh, that's staying in. And so I would get like a fork and be like, I'm going to kill you, cat. And then mom would be like, we should not have let him watch that movie. I was a weird kid. But thank you so much. I love it. Do I always threaten to kill people?
Well, I mean, I haven't been to every one of your performances, obviously. But yeah, I'll say at least two or three times, though. But you engage with the audience, and the audience is statistically at least going to be 25% sociopaths. So, and those are the ones who are going to actually, you know, like, not, they're the ones who respond to rhetorical questions.
Right.
So
I'm going to pull this out in the middle of Tempe Improv. And guess what? Echo me.
Tempe, 50% sociopaths.
Yeah, 50%.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, we respond very well to stabbing.
You should also then jump on an audience member that's sitting in the front row.
Oh my god, that was ridiculous. Okay, so we usually start off by asking the guests, like, what is your Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected you emotionally growing up? Or has that happened? Like, James, would you like to start?
Oh, yeah, just everything, every aspect of my life so far has been shaped by the Golden Girls, for sure.
You used to watch it as a kid?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm just a huge Golden Girls fan. I've seen, I've seen this episode that we did today, and I think I've seen part of another episode one time. So, yeah, I'm definitely a fan.
Yay! And Ian?
Okay, so one of the reasons I got you the knife was because I've never actually watched The Golden Girls. So I have, so you can stab me if you like.
Did you think Golden Girls was knife heavy?
Well, no, it's just, you know, in case he's angry at me, it's like, Ian, I invited you to do this show that's specifically about Golden Girls, and you failed to mention that. And I mean, it's been on in the background, you know. I have an Italian grandmother who, upon watching my first actual episode, is ridiculously similar, and her name is Sophie. Yeah, and it's almost like the show is kind of about her, but if it was, then it would mostly be, about every episode would be about her trying to get me to eat more meatballs. Or, you know, it'd be about that or about, I think I heard you coughing in the other room. Are you sick? Are you okay? Are you eating enough? You have some meatballs. She even has a lot of the same, you know,
cough drop meatballs that will help you.
That's why, you know, actually that makes me think of like the Swedish meatballs that you get with the elderberry sauce or whatever from, or lingonberry sauce from IKEA. Yes. Yeah.
Well, dude, thank you. I will not stab you. Okay. Because we've had a lot of guests on the show that have never seen the Golden Girls.
Okay.
Tons of, yeah. But we've had people that have obsessively watched the show. And yeah. So, we're, there's a safe space.
okay. So, thank you.
Yeah. I won't stab you. I mean, unless you want me to.
He might threaten to stab you. I mean, yeah. Okay. He might stab you.
At one point.
The show has just started.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what you really think about the episode.
It might get heated. I might make this sound as a warning.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah. That's a good tension breaker, I think. Yeah, so good. I'm glad this is a safe space. I was going to start a Tumblr for people who have not seen Golden Girls and are afraid to come out publicly with it. You know, you post anonymously, I've never seen Golden Girls. You know, deal with it.
So it's like, we haven't seen Golden Girls. And I never will deal with it. .tumblr.
See, I like the idea of the Tumblr just being like people's imaginings of what they think Golden Girls is.
Yes.
Yeah, just describing it, photos.
Things I think Golden Girls is.
So.
Hashtag Lions and Golden Girl episodes I never saw. Okay, so we watched a very packed episode of the Golden Girls. It was season 2, episode 3. It's called Take Him, He's Mine. The original air date was October 11, 1986. And so it was almost 29 years ago, guys. Yeah, yeah. Wow. The show was ahead of its time. Okay, and so as we always do, Genevieve, would you like to do a brief synopsis of the episode?
I guess. All right. So basically, Dorothy's ex-husband shows up, Stan, as you might remember, showed up unexpectedly. He just got divorced from Chrissy, the young woman that he left Dorothy for. And Dorothy has a date with a handsome Navy Commodore. She's very excited. She's wearing a very nice sweater, as we'll talk about extensively on the podcast. And basically, Stan wants to hang out with her. She doesn't want to hang out with him, so she pawns him off on Blanche. And they hit it off, much to Dorothy's chagrin. So, and then also, Rose and Dorothy decide to start a food truck for a construction site. And they have a run-in with Johnny No Thumbs. So, that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. That was excellent. Yay. Okay. Okay. So the first scene starts off with Sophia and Rose, and they're in the kitchen, and Sophia is desperately trying to get Rose to join her new business in making sandwiches for construction workers. She's found this great area and she needs to make the bank from it. And so Rose is like, why do you want me to do this? Like, why do you want me to join? I don't know anything about business. And then like, which is right, she doesn't. And then she yells at her later because she doesn't.
I think she wants somebody who will make all the sandwiches.
That,
because you know, yes. You don't see Sophia making any of the sandwiches or taking right. any of the money. You just see her trying to. She just saw a construction site, said, "All right," and just saw equals dollar sign. So
she's like, "Who can I get in on this as someone that I can that is very moldable and who will do all the work?"
She didn't want a business partner. She wanted a minion. Really.
She's a cult leader. She's a sociopath. You should stab her.
Stab. There was a hit. Okay. Stab. There you go. All right. I stab Sophia. Okay. I will stab every sociopath during this podcast.
Oh.
Okay. Sorry, James.
Yeah, you're
going
probably,
down.
Yeah, yeah, probably yeah.
Leave then. LA is pretty much like 99% sociopaths. So,
if you're a sociopath, we're sorry.
You're too much of a sociopath for the open mics thing.
Please don't stop us.
Yeah, I came on the podcast because I thought we were going to talk about knives. So that's a little disappointing, but
we are.
Okay. As long as we can keep it on the knives, unless
okay.
Golden
Girls. We can always talk about knives.
Okay.
Don't forget.
It's a topic that reoccurs in Golden Girls, knives.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. And murder. And so Dorothy comes in and she's like wearing this super loud green dress. It's like this green, like St. Patrick's green.
It's like emerald green.
Yeah.
She's worn it before.
She's worn it before, but different.
At the Macy's Day Parade.
Yes.
And she had the shoulder pads that look kind of like the they're not even, they're like the Justice
side.
Of Liberty,
yeah.
And her right side has like business interests, and the left side has, you know,
party.
Yeah,
it's like a mullet.
The American people's desire. It's just like she's abstract expressionist hangover throw up. Yeah, I guess
she's become a expressionist work of art. I agree with you.
Yeah, in general, their apartment.
Well, maybe she's got a slump.
Yeah,
you know? Maybe she's missing an inch from her foot, and she's just walking sloppy.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to tell because she's so tall that I feel like they have to use like camera tricks to like get everybody else to look like they're the same species.
I think it's called a disability. I don't know if it's really walking sloppy as much. It's the politically correct term for that anymore.
But for now, so that we don't get trolled, we're just gonna say that one of her heels broke on her shoe.
Right.
And
she doesn't care because she's on cloud nine because she's going on a date with a Commodore. I had to look up what that was.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a doorway.
That was an old computer.
They should have made that reference, but yeah, and so they went with the band. So don't worry a thing about that. If you were worried that they weren't going to make a joke about the Commodores,
the Commodores, the band.
Yeah, yeah, or the group, or I don't know if you call them the band, although they played all their instruments. Or
I would call them a music group.
Yeah.
And so you never see this guy. Like he's like she just talks about him. A part of me makes me feel like he's not real. Like she's just trying to show off, or you know, or wear shoulder pads.
If he's not real, he dumps her. He dumps her in the show.
Right. Oh so yeah.
She imagined
darker.
That.
She imagined that.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't hold on to like this imaginary man.
Right. Because things were going so great, and then like all of a sudden, you know, he got his pussy. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, no mo.
She's excited. Like she's got her sweater all tied up at her crotch.
Yeah.
To like emphasize it.
She's like trying to like an expressionist painting.
Yeah.
Trying to move the lines down to the focus point, which is the old Dorothy sugar walls.
Yeah.
I like sugar balls. You shouldn't say that more.
Yeah, we're marketed as a candy. But I like that this is like, what you might call it, this is like Sex in the City before there was Sex in the City. That America was more comfortable with examining the sex lives of older women than it was before. Like, giving,
well, it's like Star Wars. Like,
they did
like the late the earlier Golden Girls, like after. So it's like the later installments came first in the 80s, and then Sex and the City came later, before.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, you think it's the same universe?
Maybe.
Yeah, they retire and they move to Miami. They totally, that's it.
A galaxy long ago.
Yeah.
Far away.
I think at some point, you know, maybe they leave Manhattan and they move to Williamsburg, and they get all into vintage-y stuff. I mean, did you look around their apartment? There was laminated garlic on the wall. The place looks like a thrift store blew up.
It does. It really does. Like, it looks like all the Golden Girls, like, brought decorations from the place they lived and just put them up in the kitchen. And nothing matches.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah, it could be the very same universe as the Star Wars universe.
Oh, no, as what should I call it? Sex in the City.
Oh, I thought you meant Star Wars.
No, no, Sex in the City. No. They moved from Manhattan to, yeah.
But it's the Star Wars filter, basically.
Okay. So, Yeah.
Okay.
Star Wars frame narrative. Yes. Okay,
cool. Star Wars story structure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we'll find a connection. There is a connection between Sex and the City and Golden Girls. We've talked about it before in the podcast.
Yeah.
How Golden Girls, like, was your, like, Sex was the original Sex and the City. Or, you know what I mean? Did I say that backwards? Okay.
No, I said it right.
Chronologically.
It's the ages that are...
Yeah, I mean, Blanche is Samantha, and... Charlotte is Rose,
mm-hmm.
and then B. Arthur, I guess, is Carrie.
Mr. Big.
No, Miranda.
Mr. Big. Yeah,
yeah. The Commodore could be Mr. Big because you never see him. And so Blanche comes in and she's like, by the way, this is late at night, and Blanche is in her PJs. And so she announces that Stan is here, Dorothy's ex-husband. So this is a Stan episode, everyone. Yay!
Actually, it's not that late at night. Isn't it like 7 o'clock?
Wait, oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, you're right. Yeah. It was like early evening.
Yeah.
Late evening? Early night?
It's like
6:30. Okay, and so Stan is there, and Dorothy, I don't really know why Stan is there, and if the history of Stan is that him and Dorothy got divorced, and he left her to live in Maui with a younger woman, and then they got divorced, and so I don't understand why he's in Miami if he lives in Maui.
Oh God, that's expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, he lost the business.
Yeah. Oh, he lost
the business, and he wants comfort.
So the first thing he does is spend, you know, $1,100 on a plane ticket to go to his ex-wife.
Right.
Wow, I feel this guy's existence kind of seems kind of sad. They're hard on him.
He is, but he brought it on himself because he cheated on Dorothy. So
nah,
everybody hates.
Stan sucks.
He's
the worst.
Yeah.
I didn't see prior episodes,
right.
So.
Right, know, right. So, I mean, he really doesn't do anything bad in this episode, so he's... You know, but in previous episode, he's a slime ball.
So who's the young lady in the hotel room?
I think that was just like a straight up prostitute.
Yeah,
just
some rando with.
So we're just assuming
a lady
was
of the night. Yeah.
A lady of the night.
Oh.
So he spent money on that too.
That listener,
this is expensive.
That voice was Stina Sieg.
Hello,
Stina. She is recording this for a story on NPR KJZZ. And she's a wonderful person. You should look her up. She performs at the Torch Theater. And she's very funny. Yay. She like
look
blushing.
Look who's talking.
I love that movie.
Oh.
She's looking at
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Oh my God, I just realized that's really how my parents taught me about sex. Because my brother was born around then.
They showed you the video.
And they just like, here's this movie. Good luck being a teenager eventually.
This is exactly how it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was about a talking baby, right?
But the intro is like a sperm. And it's like, it's like going.
And morning sickness. It ends with oh my God, the sperm goes to the toilet. So that was about masturbation, obviously.
Oh my God.
So they told me everything. This was like,
I get that movie and Interspace confused all the time. So.
Wow, they do have kind of the same tone.
I
just wanted to do an Interspace reference.
Yeah.
I think this is like the third time Interspace has been referenced.
Is it really?
Luke
so
who's talking.
In Interspace, and Luke who's talking.
Luke who's talking even has like a non-traditional like relationship in it, because like Kirstie Alley isn't married to the guy that she has the baby with.
Yeah.
So it's like very. So they really give you a broad view. They're like, see, one day you could impregnate a woman. She has to take a cab to the hospital.
Yeah.
Her child will come into your office and. Like ruin your terrible Native American art.
But John Travolta ends up being John Travolta ends up being the dad, right?
No, like, he's the cab driver.
But he ends up taking care of the baby.
He gets stuck with the bill. See, I think it's just class commentary, right? There's a Brechtian commentary.
Right.
on, you know, because like, you know, the generic just cab driver is standing for the working class. You know, just because, you know, Johnny 2 million didn't pull out, now oh, this guy's going to have to, yes, yeah, I'm tying it in, okay? And he didn't pull out, that now the working class has to pay for their babies. Referring to what we went even here with the income inequality. So,
wow. No, that is a very good point.
I don't know who wrote that, but they obviously haven't gotten enough credit. I haven't seen them writing any articles for The Atlantic lately, so.
And I do believe that John Travolta, doesn't he become the dad to Rosie O'Donnell and Look Who's Talking To? Isn't she?
Oh, it's Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr, oh yeah. My God.
Wait, I thought the same characters from...
Except for the new baby that was born.
They have a new, the new baby. Lady baby.
Yeah.
And then right. she gets...
Lady baby.
Yeah.
I didn't buy Look Who's Talking Now.
You guys keep...
Because that was like about the dogs. The dog
That's
and the
cat.
One
I like the most.
Do you really?
Oh my God. How does it feel to be in the minority?
It feels pretty dark.
You can start a Tumblr for people who prefer Look Who's Talking To over...
I relate more to dogs
and children.
And children.
So let's get back to this. We just went on a huge.
Yeah, yeah. Now back to homework.
Okay. So Dan and Stan are in the living room, and he's like, "My business went down. We don't know what business." He's never mentioned in the past what kind of business they had. Do you remember? I don't
know. I think we should all venture guesses.
Sandwich.
Over...
Sandwich. Please.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny No
Johnny
Thumbs.
No yeah. Thumbs put him out of business.
That's the hook right there. She's Johnny No Thumbs.
Oh, man. Oh, so Stan, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so, and so he's like, I need comfort. I need... Like, anytime anything bad happens to Stan, he wants, like, Dorothy's sugar walls, right? And so, he ain't getting that because she's gonna go with that Navy dude. And so, she...
They did sleep together the last time we saw Stan.
Yeah.
They banged out. So, he's...
Also, sugar's rough. I don't know if I want to stick my, you know, like, I mean, you think you get cut. I'm imagining rock candy, maybe.
Well, if you're, like, licking it, it's...
Oh, it's... Okay, now I get it.
It's wet sugar. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's also that baker sugar that's super fine.
Right. Confectioner. Yeah. Okay, it's confectioner sugar.
Powder sugar that you put on your pancakes. Really soft.
Yeah, yeah. Pancakes. Okay, now I'm getting a real good image
like
here.
Yeah. Dewy snowfall.
Yeah. It's slushy. It's, you know.
And I need to say something because you said that you are amazingly funny and delightful.
Oh,
so Anthony, I think that you are great.
Yay!
So thank you so much for letting me be here and this giant recording device in your face.
Made that really sexual.
Ooh. Yeah.
Thank you, Stina. You're wonderful. Aww. Actually, it's funny because we actually did before this even happened, we did a little fun experiment podcast, me and you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the Notebook.
Yes.
Yeah, we watched The Notebook because we wanted to have a sad movie night. And then we watched it and then we recorded ourselves dissecting it.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So that's the true origin of this podcast.
The genesis.
The genesis. The precursor.
The prequel.
The prequel, if you will. but yeah, we're very happy to have you.
Thanks.
Yay. Okay. So then she goes into the kitchen and she's like, I can't help out Stan. I don't know why it's her duty to.
No, it's not her
it's
duty.
It's not.
No,
she should just send him on his way.
Yeah. Why is he there? Like she's not married to him. Like, you're not responsible for him.
Yeah.
Like,
I think you should stab him, too. He sounds like a sociopath.
Stab.
I like Stan.
Why don't you start a Tumblr?
I'm like Stan. I'm a Stan fan, for sure. Man his age has that waiting for him back at the hotel room. He's doing something right.
I wish that when he said I need a shoulder to cry on, she like pulled out like 10 shoulder pads. Fuck, here you go. I'm outie.
I mean, they're pretty much pillows.
Right. And so Blanche does not want to do this. Like, this is very important that we state this. She does not like Stan. At first, she's not into this, but she convinced, Dorothy convinces Blanche to go because she says that she's gonna allow Blanche to meet her Jeffrey, that's the Navy Commodore dude's name, to she's gonna meet his friends that are out to sea for 6 months so Blanche can bang them out, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and they're pretty backed up, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
they're all close sleeping quarters. They're not getting unclogged the pipes, so this could get really really dirty pretty quickly.
Right. She's in full slut mode, and so
she goes out there sex crazed.
Yeah. all she can think about during dinner is just like getting manhandled by 20. Old Navy men. I'm guessing they're older.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're his friends, right? Yeah, like
how many old Navy men are like, you know, like enlisted? Are they at least like enlisted men? Like how many like 60-year-old enlisted men are there? Like I feel
like
if you're a career Navy guy,
right?
I don't know how that works.
Maybe he's like a cook, or he's like a. He plays the trumpet. Like,
he's in the color guard. He waves the flags.
He's the flagget. That's what we call the flag guys.
They just pay an old person to look all nautical and shit. That's really what it is. And say piratey nonsense.
He's
maybe he's like Captain Crunch.
Who? not actually Captain.
Really?
I know.
I'm not a captain.
Is that according to the uniform or the mythology?
The uniform, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So he's something else. He's a Commodore. Commodore Crunch.
Dorothy is dating Captain Crunch? Is that what's happening?
She's just sitting there with a box of Captain Crunch.
Yeah, it's just like... What if?
And then Captain Crunch is like, I gotta go for a year and I can't contact you. Oh.
So there's an entire fleet of breakfast cereal mascots out there somewhere just cruising around.
Yeah, I'm gonna have sex with the old
Okay.
Days.
Count Chocula's there. Booberry.
Wait, is Count Chocula a real count? I don't know how you can you tell that by looking at the uniform.
Commodore Count.
Is he also a Commodore Count?
They're all Commodores.
Yeah.
Okay, and so and then Rose says something really strange. She was like, I don't want to talk to people because I hate people's problems. And then Dorothy's like, you're a grief counselor. And then she's like, yeah, I have the highest suicide rate in the entire grief counseling thing that we have business.
Suicide is hilarious.
Yeah. I wonder if they call her Japan.
Yeah. Which me and Genevieve for this entire time, we've been boggled as to why she can't handle anything. Like emotionally, she goes into like downward spirals. She'll buy a gun. She'll just
what? Wait a minute.
Yeah, and she's a grief counselor.
She's had like at least two monologues about what she would do in jail. Like she has a prison plan.
Yeah.
So like she knows what's up. Something's happened to her that very dark that she's repressing.
Right.
So
I think it's arrested development. Yeah. And, like the psychological condition and where like. You're like when you get like molested when you're like 5, then you just stay 5 years old.
So she's Buster Bluth, is what you're saying.
Yeah, she's Buster Bluth.
She's Buster Bluth. Oh my god! Wow, that's yeah. I just understood that show even more. I'm learning everything. Thank
you're
you
learning
guys.
So, much.
Yeah.
Yay! You learn about sex ed.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't called my parents for Easter yet. Now that conversation is going to be interesting. Cool.
Yeah. Tell them about that.
Talk about knives, prostitution.
Yeah, tell them everything we learned today.
So Rose bought a gun?
One episode she bought a gun. Sorry, I'm swearing.
No, if we can bring it back to knives and guns, that would be interesting.
She did buy a gun because somebody broke into the house, right? I think.
Yeah,
somebody broke into the house and she went into like this really dark place and like she bought a gun and Blanche came into the door and at night and she was like sitting in the living room and shot at her and then broke the vase that's like next to the door.
She shot at one of her roommates?
Yeah.
Oh my god, why can't TV be like this anymore?
Right.
I know, fantastic.
It could, like, this could not, like, happen in, like modern family. You know, like, yeah.
Florida has their stand your ground laws, so I think that she could have killed her and been perfectly okay.
Right. Genevieve. I was calling Blanche Genevieve.
projection.
I just confuse everyone.
We are the same person.
Okay, and so then Blanche agrees to go out on the date to get fucked later. It's like postpone staying in, get fucked later. And so Sophia, the next scene, Sophia, we're barely on the second scene. Sophia and Rose are in the kitchen. It's after midnight. They're making sandwiches, and they run out of tomatoes, and so they're like, use these potatoes, and so they're making bacon, lettuce, and potato sandwiches. As long as they say them really fast, like bacon, lettuce, and potato, then the construction workers won't know the difference because everyone knows construction workers are dumb.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, oh, bacon, lettuce, and potato. Okay.
I have a concern they did not cook these potatoes.
Yeah.
They're just raw potatoes that they're serving.
There's just a whole raw potato.
Yeah.
on bread. Right. That's probably why they went. I was spoiling the ending.
Right. Yeah. For the
spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. This does not work out.
the show does not go in this direction.
I don't know. Bacon and potato.
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
It sounds really good if it's cooked, if it's not raw, which I just figured it is.
If it's cooked, it would sound delicious, I think.
Like a breakfast burrito.
Right. Yeah. And that they could have been like, we discovered bacon, lettuce, and potatoes, BLPs, and then just blown up, right? I don't know. Okay, so Dorothy comes back and she's, Dorothy comes in and she had a really good date. It was fantastic. He's a gentleman, blah, blah, blah. And then Blanche comes in later and she's had a good time.
She's excited.
She said the date went well. She starved though because he didn't buy her dinner. He didn't He, took her to an Indian restaurant.
Well, they were going to go to an Italian restaurant. They were going to go to...
Monty's.
He was going to take her to Monty. He said, Monty's always cheers me up. And then on the way, he just took her... He said, I like this Pakistani place. Or Indian place. And then...
I like this Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
I love how those are equated. This is, I guess, before Indian food was, like... A trendy thing that is totally awesome to eat, but that's well, it's undesirable,
right? Because back in the day, white people were eating Indian food.
Yeah, and yeah.
So it was really cheap.
I'm trying to imagine now serving my grandmother Indian food that would not go well. Mm-hmm. So okay.
Yeah.
I think there was a moment where they start off saying Pakistani and then Blanche was like, Indian food. And it's I feel like there was a whole, really insensitive cultural situation that took place
there. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. They're the same nation, same religion. Right. There's no difference between those people.
Israeli food? No, it's Indian food.
Yeah.
It's all Indian food.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's all Mexican food.
Oh, man.
Yeah. How would white
47
people feel?
Countries is Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Guadalajara tacos. Hello?
Get it right.
She got back at 5 in the morning, though. So, like, what restaurant is staying open that late?
Oh, that was before, though. This time she got back at midnight.
She got back
at a normal time.
This was normal time.
Yeah.
But she said, okay, she said that this was a good date because I knew I wasn't going to sleep with him. And he knew he wasn't going to sleep with me, so we were able to hang out and just have fun.
How did he know that?
Well, she...
Oh, I bet he didn't.
Yeah. He was afraid of being put in the friend zone.
Maybe you should have canceled then or did something else.
Maybe he didn't... I'm not trying to justify Stan, but maybe he didn't hit on her. You know, like, maybe he was... Well, maybe they were both just started talking shit about Dorothy, and then the night just took off. Like, who knows? Like, they're gonna be like, yeah, Dorothy's a bitch. She never cleans the bathroom. She's like, I know. She leaves her stuff out, her hairnet, her shoulder pads.
I'm trying to think of old lady.
Shoulder pads all over the bathroom.
Shoulder pads are all over the bathroom. just like, her butt hairs are everywhere. I don't know. Like, it could have... I can see them just gossiping the night away about Dorothy. I don't know.
It was magical.
It was magical.
So you just assume Dorothy has a lot of butt hair?
enough to talk about.
I mean, she's Italian, so it's safe to say
you
have a lot of butt hair.
Yes. Right. Okay, and so I don't know what happened. No one was there. They didn't show it. And she really doesn't talk about it. Okay. And so she says she's going to go on another date with him tomorrow night. And Dorothy says that's fine. Because at this point, she's still with that dude, Jeffrey. So she's totally cool about Blanche, like, going on another date with her ex-husband. Because she's getting some, right? So someone's licking her walls. It's fine. but once the tongue gets...
We're going to say sugar walls at least 37 more times.
Well, usually I say pussy, but what if this is going to be on NPR? You can't...
Sugar walls.
Yeah, sugar walls.
Right. Let's see it.
we'll somehow make it offensive. Make it a reference to the wailing wall or something. The wailing sugar walls.
You can say sugar walls on the radio, right?
I think so. Maybe the word has to be between the two of them, though. Like
sugar.
The sugar. You know, what word can go between the
sugar? Two? Shut your mouth, walls.
Yeah, I guess. Sugar. Say.
Yeah, sure. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Or if you pause long enough, maybe like sugar
walls.
With awkward inflection. If it's a question, like you're asking, should I sugar the walls? Like, sugar walls? Like, you have to, you know, like, they can't see that you don't have, like, you know, a bag of sugar and a wall. You're like, sugar walls?
That's exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to take it somewhere really dirty, but I'll continue. Okay, and so the next scene, it's really... It goes to like 2 days later, and it's 5 in the morning, Rose and Sophia, that's why I have my notes, because Rose and Sophia have this tin, like foil, aluminum foil basket.
Like a castle.
Castle of BLPs.
It's like, they're wrapped up, so like the heat is preserved, and it's like in... Mm-hmm. Like saran wrap or whatever.
But,
so, yeah.
But it won't last 6 hours. Like,
I have all sorts of problems with this.
So it's 5 in the morning, and they're like, we're going to go find a spot to sell lunch at. Because there's only one place in Miami with construction. Yeah, and so they...
I know.
They should sell them the sandwiches, give them food poisoning, then sell them toilet paper.
Oh,
that's why they were. That's why they were at the grocery store later on. If you look in their cart, you see it's actually just toilet paper.
There was tons of toilet paper in that store. Like there was a whole like aisle of toilet paper.
Yeah, probably because it's a cheap, the cheapest prop to get, really. It's
well, just, they probably had a bunch of in the studio.
Yeah,
let's put it in here, and then I put it they back.
Had a nice connection with like toilet paper magnet.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The Burbank Studios was stocked up that Tuesday.
yeah.
Okay, and so they go. Blanche comes in. Well, Dorothy comes out. She's like, "What are you guys doing?" And that's when they reveal that Johnny No Thumbs, their arch nemesis. Yeah, who's usually steals the sweet spot, the sweet corner, because there's a sweet, I guess there's a lot of foot traffic going on in that corner. I don't know. Maybe there's construction that's blocking other corners that you can't.
I mean, like how many? Maybe there are like a bunch of other food trucks, basically.
And once they get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, they don't have a truck.
Yeah, I guess they don't have a truck.
They have just like a table, like they're just out of a van.
Yeah,
that's not out of creepy. like a Buick LeSabre.
So it's
the Crown Victoria.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And so they're competing against this guy, and so then Blanche comes in, and she's really happy, and she's been with Stan the whole night. It seems like they slept together. She doesn't say they didn't sleep together, and Dorothy's freaking out, and so it was just really awkward.
Well, it was weird too when she smells Blanche's finger. Remember that in the episode? Yeah.
Yeah,
like they,
yeah.
What did she smell?
Wait, did I miss that? I was just messing
around.
That didn't actually happen.
Okay. It smelled like Stan's.
Yeah, it was just, I said it's serious.
It was Stan's sugar roll. Yeah,
uh-huh.
He's like, I know. Dorothy's like, I know that smell anywhere.
Like, that's Blanche, come in. Let me smell your finger.
Blanche! Let me smell your finger!
Yeah.
That's my Dorothy. I know that smell everywhere.
Dorothy talking about chocolate fingers.
Yeah. I almost believed you. Oh, you got me.
I actually believed you. Because
I could see that. Yeah. Dorothy doing that.
I was like, wait a minute, what?
Or she smelled her mouth.
Oh,
she's like, I know that's.
I know, yeah, yeah.
I don't think it would have got past the censors, even.
Yeah, that would have been cut from the writing.
This would be a good chart, like, you know, like when certain sex acts were permissible, like what show and what year.
Right, a little like diagram that shows like which shows like
when America was ready.
Jefferson's
for.
Reference.
There wasn't a lot of
bestiality
in the Jeffersons. I don't remember.
How often, like, bestiality was mentioned throughout sitcoms. the Turkle Sins, three times.
Does Alf count as, like...
Menage a trois. Yeah.
Growing Pains mentioned nipple biting three times in season 4.
And they had a character named Boner.
Oh, yeah. So their digits are just like really high. A boner.
They're groundbreaking. Yeah.
Okay.
Getting a good boner should be good.
So Dorothy's really so that's the same scene that Dorothy reveals that Commodore Crunch dumped her, and so she's very upset, and he just took off. For a year, cannot contact anyone for a year. So, yeah, that's like the ultimate, you got dumped. Do not fucking talk to me or do not call me ever. We're done. Really sad. You're getting dumped by cereal. Poor Dorothy. Okay, and so, yeah, so we saw Blanche's walk of shame. And, you know, she had to dump him because sooner or later, they're gonna, I mean, she had to make him dump her. Because sooner or later they're going to ask, where is he? You know, why haven't we seen this guy? And they're going to get suspicious. And so, yeah. I mean, he doesn't exist. How is she going to produce him?
I thought that having a long distance relationship would be a good way to, you know, to keep like the lie going, really. Like, and it's like,
oh yeah.
Then I guess she would be asked to produce pictures.
She just puts a note in a bottle and just throws it in the ocean.
Like invites them along. You're like, oh yeah, see, why would I throw a note into the ocean if there wasn't this totally awesome?
She sends herself sends herself telegrams.
Dorothy's message in a bottle,
right? And but they would want to have like a going away party or something like that, and then meet him before he leaves.
She mails letters to herself, sprayed with Brute.
And Blanche is gonna have to meet those Navy friends.
Oh, that's right. So that deal got broken.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if she wanted to keep that hoax alive, she could have started a war somewhere. That way they would have gotten called, you know, deployed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how the Navy works?
That's how the Navy works.
That's how the Navy works.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. You start a war, you get deployed.
Yeah.
You... Some 6-year-old woman in Miami starts a war. So people don't have to know about her made-up boyfriend.
Maybe this Italian war escalated
to
something bigger, and then he had to go to war to fight Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what happened, guys. Okay, and so the next scene is the grocery store scene. The grocery store that is a mess.
The worst grocery store that we talked about on the Bill Binder episode returns.
Yeah.
It's even worse.
It's even worse. The first time we saw it, there was like a bulletin board, and then it disappeared. Like, it was just like, where'd it go? Like, yeah.
Someone bought it.
Yeah, someone bought
it for sale.
used bulletin board.
Lightly used bulletin board.
And there was like, Stina, you mentioned like there was light bulbs.
Next to oatmeal.
Like it just.
Rolled oats.
Nothing makes sense. And one, it's the smallest grocery store in the world. I suspect it's probably some sort of senior discount grocery store. There was a lot of older people in that.
I like to think that it was basically any brand that they could get on board, but then half of them pulled out later. And like, if you notice, like some of them will say things like noodles, they'll just be like taped over the top of the box.
Right. There was white tape over brands. It was, And then the last time we saw the grocery store, it actually had produce. This time, no produce. It was just
probably all canned. Yeah.
Yeah, and also the people that go to that grocery store,
all hard candy.
Yeah, that's it. I'm more concerned that they're segregating old people and making them shop in a separate store.
Right.
I think they should get a
connected to the bigger store. It's like, go to that one, old people.
Yeah, it's like the high school for the girls who get pregnant.
Oh yeah, this is the equivalent. The high school for the girls to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Our high school was the high school.
Mine was too.
Yeah. We had a daycare center.
Oh, that's fancy.
Wow.
We just had a lot of shame.
We had a home ec was there, and part of it was taking care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The little kids that they gave birth to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was really
Oklahoma just like they had that, and it was separate, and then they were just like, all right, guess you're done. Goodbye.
Bye. Get out of here. Go raise your child. Okay, and so that's when the whole situation gets revealed. They're fighting. Dorothy and Blanche are... Dorothy's really upset because she's not dating a cartoon character anymore. And so Blanche is like, why won't you talk to me? Me and Stan are just friends, basically, right? And so Dorothy's like, all right, whatever, we'll make up. But then Blanche is going on a date with him again that night, and she's like, she like punches a box or a bag of napkins.
Yeah.
Was it pounds?
It was
pounce. It was pounce. Oh.
Pounce's napkins?
Yeah, yeah, she pounced on it with her
fist. She pounced on the pounds.
Wow. Alliteration.
Pounds on the pounds. And she's like, and then everyone turns around and it's like, and they start revealing.
She's a big, tall, angry woman.
Yeah.
It is a small grocery store.
With like football player style shoulder pads on. Yeah.
And everyone is staring at them and they're revealing. They're like saying things like, you slept with my husband. And then, yeah, it just gets out of control. Really, really silly. And then Sophia, I really like when they crash into Sophia's shopping cart. And then yeah. Sophia's like, I'm hit! I'm paralyzed now! And then...
yeah, she was trying to commit insurance fraud.
Yeah, right. In the store.
Sophia needs money. I think that's really our story.
Yeah, she just needs money or just likes manipulating people.
What happened to Sophia's social security? Why doesn't she?
Yeah.
Why does she have to sell sandwiches and fake accidents?
Gambling debts.
Oh,
she's probably a dad.
She's probably just a child of the depression. You know, it's like she's still in that mindset.
Yeah.
She's out of it.
Oh, she was an adult of the depression.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
She saw. She knows it can go down again. Right. You know, they can all go away. Like, you might be the high-flying 80s, but, you know.
She doesn't trust it.
Yeah, it could be 1929 in an instant.
Yeah, so she's just...
We gotta sell these sandwiches, fake insurance. The depression might happen again.
She's got a lot of revenue streams. I think that's really the point of this.
Right.
I wonder what her tax forms look like.
Oh, they don't exist.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be a collector's item. The hardcore fans.
She probably fakes being dead. Sophia's probably not her real name. You know, she's got credit cards left and right.
She still claims Dorothy is a dependent.
Dorothy's 6 years old. Yeah. For 50 years.
Yeah. She has arrested development. In accounting terms, anyway. Arrested development.
Yeah. Stab. okay, and so the next scene, Sophia and Rose are in the kitchen. They're counting their money out of their box. There's a lot of IOUs. Rose is accepting IOUs because the construction workers all have $100 bills.
It's because they're paid in cash.
Yeah, yeah. But they can't give them change.
Yeah.
So an IOU will suffice. And they're losing money. You chose like Rose to be your business partner. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, Sophia can't work the counter.
What is she just
what is she doing there?
Is there even
is she
a counter?
Sitting there in a lawn chair?
Yeah.
Like tanning.
Yeah.
She's just like giving threatening looks to Johnny No Thumbs.
Yeah,
flipping him off.
She's probably having sex with Johnny No Thumbs. That's why he sends her flowers at the end.
That's
I spoiled shit.
Spoiled alert. Do you think that he touches her?
Maybe he's permanently in shocker position.
Maybe he's like this.
I mean, they said he was missing more than just his thumbs. So he could just have this.
So he's missing his thumb. So
he's missing his thumb and his ring finger.
As long as he has two fingers.
Yeah.
He's fine.
I like that you're both making the motion of the in the pink.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what the shot is.
In the pinking, Sophia. Definitely. Yeah.
A good motion for a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I figured, you know, people would hear, like, the air velocity. It's a really good mic.
Two in the sugar walls and
one in the chocolate factory.
One in the chocolate factory. The chocolate walls.
I don't think that one's going to catch up.
Yeah, to Wonka somewhere, I guess.
While this is happening, Dorothy keeps coming in and out of the kitchen. Where are they? Just like...
like Batman.
Freaking out. Like,
why is she...
Yeah.
Where is he?
What?
Where is my sugar?
Where's my sugar? She's outraged. Sophia starts talking about sailing from Italy to New York and being on the ship and
apparently they stopped in Ireland.
They stopped in Ireland, got drunk. The Irish, only the Irish
got drunk.
Which is fair.
Right. But I love the whole joke. Like when she was like, they missed the Statue of Liberty. So now that's why there's a bunch of Italians in Saddles,
Massachusetts,
some city in Massachusetts.
Which also geographically is a bit suspect, but
yeah, like they just
Ellis Island.
I don't know. There's a river. I think it's like a Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, I guess they could go up the because if you go up the Hudson, you just wind up in upstate New York. So
it goes up like.
Or past, I guess the thing.
It goes past Connecticut and then past Massachusetts. So,
I think
it actually formed. I don't know. I really don't.
She says it. So they have a large Italian population.
Yeah. In somewhere in Massachusetts.
Which is more Irish than Italian there, though. But they did pick up Irish people.
I like how the Golden Girls is kind of like Beetle Bailey. Like, you wouldn't know it, but actually. Seriously offensive to like all different walks of life.
Yeah.
Do they have any kids, by the way? Do any of these women have
They
kids?
Have tons of kids.
They have so many kids.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. I think each of them have like 4 to 6.
Does Blanche have kiddos?
Yeah, she has. Wow. She has several. Yeah. They have a growing amount of kids depending on which guest stars are coming back.
Are available, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Right. Well, like, they'll need, like, a situation, like, a new one, like she, my daughter has an eating disorder, so they have to come up with a new daughter. And so all these, by the end of the series, they all end up having, like, a bunch of sons and daughters.
They have a lot of visiting relatives. Yeah. Like, almost every other episode is a visiting relative. This is a visiting relative episode with Stan.
And there's always something wrong that they want. It's never a good visit.
Family members are demanding.
They need money, a body part, or...
we have at least 2 episodes for body part.
Yeah. I need your shoulder. Give it to me.
Yes. That's what happened.
I can guess one. What's the other one?
One was blind, and she needed Rose to go live with her to take care of her. One was a kidney, and then the other one was... I forgot. Something... It's never good. Okay. And then so that's when Dorothy keeps on freaking out. And that's when... Does Blanche come in that scene? Yeah, she comes... I think she Blanche doesn't come in.
Yeah, but
she decides to go find her.
Yeah.
Puts on a trench coat. And she takes off.
And she threatens to eat ice cream or commit a felony.
Yeah.
She does neither.
And she does neither, actually. Yeah. Well, we don't know. She could have had ice cream in the car.
She could have stabbed that prostitute.
the prostitute with no lips.
With no lips.
Yeah.
Oh, she got those lips cut off.
How do we know she's a prostitute?
That's right.
Why else would somebody sleep with
her makeup? She's skinny.
Stan, you can't...
She seems a little bit too comfortable with hiding underneath the blanket.
Yeah, that's not...
They're in a hotel.
Also, now his toupee is still on. So that to me denotes that there's no real passion. You know, maybe she's like a no-kissing prostitute. Like that's
Roberts.
Her boundary. Yeah, exactly. I just know, like, you know, like my head is not engaged in this at all. Mm-hmm. You know, the neck down is okay.
Right.
So therefore, if her head's not engaged, his head's not engaged, I'm certain... so
his head is engaged.
Yeah.
Ba-boom.
but then she says, like, I barely discovered myself an hour ago. So part of me makes me feel like she's 16 years old or something. Like, I don't know, or that she's like...
I think that was their way of saying she's a prostitute without saying she's a prostitute.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's she was on the street corner, or she was like, you know, at the bar...
Or she just discovered that she's a prostitute.
She's consenting. We'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But probably she's consenting, like, because she got some cash.
Yeah. Or she's Morse code winking, get me out of here.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. I want to be on the side of Stan and the prostitute, and I think the Golden Girls are in the wrong.
You think they're going to make it?
Yeah. I want to.
The prostitute and Stan just, like, have a happy life.
The prostitute and Stan, like, they should have had their own series. Yeah, their own spinoff.
I steered off too quickly and they spun out.
I would have watched the prostitute and Stan.
Until they got into a fatal car accident.
Stan and the prostitute.
Oh, she gets top billing for sure.
Yeah. Top billing, yeah, she does.
She's pretty great. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit.
She was funny.
I can see why you could have picked her off the street corner.
Right. You're like, that one's gonna make me laugh.
She kind of sounded like a young Rose when she talked. Like, I just discovered an hour ago myself.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. Wow. She's got a great goofy laugh.
Yeah, the laugh, I think those auditions must have been interesting. Like, okay, now give us your best goofy laugh.
Right.
And
she nailed it.
You're like, how do you hide from someone's ex-wife?
Yeah. Oh, but before the prostitute hotel scene, there's a knock on the door, and it's Vinny and Rocco sent over from Johnny Two Thumbs.
Johnny No Thumbs. I accidentally said Johnny Two Thumbs before we started recording. I'm like, no, that's like a normal person.
That's also known as Johnny.
You mean just Johnny?
Yeah. I'm real proud of having all my fingers.
Maybe he has two thumbs on each hand. That could be it.
Yeah, he has two thumbs in one hand and then none on the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really creepy. Well, like speaking of creepy, Rocco is like the creepiest guy ever. He looked like he murdered someone on the way to the door from the car. Like
he was like, pull over, I gotta murder this fellow.
He has his hands upturned in like a stigmata type. As the door was open.
No way, I didn't see that.
I think from all the stabbing, his arms can that's their resting position.
They're just in the shape of stabbing.
And his head, it looks like his face did hard time in a fat fryer. there's some angles there.
There's a slant of an eyebrow that is just like the rock, like just in all like in place, and he's
like
looking.
The Rock, but like not handsome.
But not handsome.
Yeah.
More rapey and murdery, and with knife hands.
He kind of looks like the guy from The Rocketeer. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I didn't see that one either.
Yeah. Okay. There's like a very menacing guy. Okay, if you knew The Rocketeer, you know what I'm talking about. Perhaps.
If you were cool.
If you were cool, remember movies from 1991.
I saw The Rocketeer in the theater.
Ooh. Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah.
That's ball up.
I saw it on VHS.
I saw it never. And so, so Dorothy. Okay, also, how did Dorothy know where that hotel was?
Yeah, that was my question. She just... Really? Unless they had visited that hotel previously, that's where he.
No, that wasn't the same one that they went to.
That was a different one. That's a hotel that she went to once when she was dating a married man. Episode 14.
There's a lot of hotels. Episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot of hotels in Golden Girls, but did Stan leave a note? Does he tell everyone where he's gonna be hooking up at? Call her, is like, by the way, I'm gonna be in this hotel.
Maybe they still have a joint checking account, and she looked at his credit card, thing, because they have 24. Oh wait, no, 24 hour service wasn't a thing back then. So,
but no, you were on a really good track. I was on board with that.
Yeah,
until
like,
you
called the credit card. That happened at that point.
She sniffed him out. She smelled Blanche's mouth, and then just went and found Stan.
She called every hotel in Miami.
Is there a Stan Zbornak?
Yeah. Stan, what he writes in the hotel logbook is his fake name.
Yeah.
She knows that name.
Yeah, because he cheated on her before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the same hotel.
Yeah.
That.
That's his cheating hotel.
And yeah. It's room 514.
I remember the room. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's really weird.
That's impressive,
right? Well, because I was trying to see if it was an apartment in a hotel, and then it could have been both.
A very large apartment building.
A very large apartment.
Well, so the exterior shot was just, so it's 514, but the exterior shot is just that one level.
They start at 5.
There are no rooms to see. This is a big...
There are multiple buildings to the property.
Okay. But yeah, there
the no-tell hotel campus.
There are 5 buildings on the first floor. There you go.
But he's staying. He's just visiting, right?
Yeah, he doesn't live there.
No, but they lived there. Like, he did live there because they owned property there. But, and Dorothy was from there for a little bit. Like, they lived there for a while. So
yeah.
Another thing is, why didn't he have friends to hang out with?
Yeah. No friends.
Stan's dad.
He had sex with all their spouses.
His, whoa.
Yeah.
He fucked everyone.
Yeah.
And there's prostitutes you can lean on.
Mm-hmm. Till they get tired of you.
Till they get tired of you. Yeah.
That's in their menu of services.
Yeah.
Leaning.
$5.
Leaning. $5 leaning fee.
Discovering myself. $20.
You can lean on me all you want, but we can't fall in love.
Yeah.
Okay, and then also when she was like, when Dorothy was yelling at the prostitute, like, why didn't Stan stop her and say, that's not Blanche, or why are you yelling at a prostitute? Like, I don't...
Stan seems to expect this.
No, Stan's a dick.
Nobody's ever asked, why are you yelling at a prostitute?
No one ever asks that question.
Poor prostitute.
Yeah, she seems fine with it. Like,
everything,
she's just like,
she gets yelled
normal.
At very
she's a good
often.
Southern girl, so...
Every day she gets yelled at, probably, by a married woman. It's very common. And so she has that go-to line, like, I just discovered myself. Okay, and so the next scene, the last scene, Dorothy, no, they're back at home, and there's flowers all over the kitchen. Johnny No Thumbs sent flowers because Sophia told Uncle Vito to scare them off, and so they're gonna stop hanging out in that corner. I don't know, or I don't know. It was very vague what happened.
Yeah.
And so they're fine, but they were gonna stop doing sandwich. They're gonna stop being in the sandwich business because they're going broke. Because Rose is an idiot. And so, yay, the flower situation is good. But then there's still Blanche in the living room, and she's like. And Dorothy and her need to make up, so she apologizes to Blanche. She thought she was hooking up with Stan again, and so, yeah. But I don't even know, like, what Blanche was doing that night. She doesn't tell her what she was doing. If she wasn't with Blanche, with Stan?
I think that they met, and then she said, you know, because I said, I told him there's nothing between us, but we still, you know, can't continue. This.
Right.
I think that was a...
So he's like, I'm going to go get a prostitute.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's like...
This is not going to happen right now.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot confront my reality that my ex-wife doesn't want to spend time with me. My business is failing.
Of it's still unknown to this moment what business it was.
Yeah, maybe he owns that hotel. Knows that wouldn't make any sense because the hotel would be closed.
Maybe it's that shitty grocery store.
Oh yeah,
going down.
Yeah, he was like, damn it, we forgot to install registers. So I'm just fucking out with carts full of stuff.
The carts full of shit.
It's a very local, specific reference, but it's called Yusuf's off of Cave Creek Road. That looks exactly, it's a Middle Eastern grocery store that
looks exactly
like that grocery store.
Where there are only 2 shopping carts in it?
No, there's like 3 aisles but like nicest guy, best euros. Oh. Check that out.
Yusuf's listeners, very good.
Check it out. And so Blanche and Dorothy make up. You know, Blanche is like, she does this whole thing about the color magenta, about your emotion.
Magenta.
I had to put the titles on because I didn't know what she was saying. Yeah. Like, she was like, I don't know. And so she was like, magenta is the feeling of being scared and jealous and all that stuff. And so they make up, and they're fine. They even make out, I think, after the show.
It's hard to tell because there's this big mess of, like, hairspray and shoulder pads and clothing. So, yeah, I mean, they could have totally lesed out.
They could have lesed out.
Or yeah.
They could have sugar walled.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And so I think we did it, guys. Yay! Yay!
Wow. Yay. Accomplishment.
Okay, and so the next episode is season 2, episode 4. It's called It's a Miserable Life, and it's going to be a fun one. James, do you want to tell us where people can find you on Twitter and what shows are you going to be in soon?
Yeah, I could. My Twitter handle is at Jamsmeary. It's an anagram of my name. So I should probably just go back to Mabry I Should Go, because that was easier to remember. But
oh, I like that one.
Yeah. And then I'm not doing any stand-up in L.A., probably ever, but I am writing a couple spec scripts right now, so I'm going to submit those to some writing workshops, but that's all I got going on.
Cool. Well, if you're an L.A. person with a show, put Mabry on it already. Get it together, L.A.
He's funny. He'll stab you.
Yeah, he'll stab you with a retractable knife. And how about you, Ian? Where can people find you, and where are you going to be at?
So? Oh, I don't really have much of a social media presence, but there is a show at the Alwyn House, radically different from this. It's a kind of a dance cabaret themed around a dark western. The show is at Alwyn House on May 2nd. It's a Saturday at 8 p.m. I think tickets are around, I forget how much they cost, so I'm not going to mention that. And also, I write for First Friday Night Live. It's a Saturday Night Live style sketch comedy show. You can find us on Facebook or the internet. Like, our website is www.firstfridaynightlive.com. And so, yeah, you can find stuff there, and it'll be great.
Yay. So check out Ian. He's very funny, very great performer and writer and sketch artist and all around just funny person. Yay. And Genevieve, where can we find you on the internet and the liveness?
Well, I am at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. I have GenevieveRice.com if you want to see what I was up to 6 months ago when I last updated it. My next big show is going to be on May 25th. I'm co-hosting the Matt Storrs Interruption at Space 55.
Oh, cool.
So that's Saturday night at 10:30. I think it's $5 to get in. So basically, I think I was asked to do that because Matt Storrs is a lawyer. Basically, he fact checks everybody. I think I was asked to do it because I'm the only other comedian who owns a suit. Yeah. But I look forward to it. It's gonna be cool.
Yay. I own a swimsuit.
It's close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
Two piece. I'm at Anthony Decimito, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Anthony Decimito. And if you listen to the podcast today, April 15th, I'll be at Hidden House performing stand-up comedy. And I think Genevieve is on that. No, Gina, to cancel it. And on April 17th, I'll be hosting the Phoenix Improv Festival at 9 p.m. And that should be tons of fun. Phoenix Improv, yay. Stina, do you want to promote your stuff? People listen to you. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll just let them hear me as they do, as I float in through the airwaves. But you can find me on Twitter at stinasieg.com. If you ever know how to spell that, which you won't, then that's totally fine. But it's STINASIEG.
Yay.
Now feel free to forget that.
Write it down, guys.
Come on.
Or read the little
listen,
blurb.
Listen to our podcast with a pen and pencil.
Yeah. Oh, you threatened to stab people. You did the stores objection. I think you threatened to stab people that night.
Oh, I did. I did have a knife that day.
Did you actually have a knife?
I had an actual knife.
Okay.
Yeah.
My gift is rather superfluous then.
Thank you. I totally forgot about that.
I guess that could be a level one knife. Like if you're a little bit, you take it out, you're like, you stab once, you're like, okay, this is the warning knife. This is the real one, okay?
Right. I think I would have to like tell the audience that it's fake and that it sounds like sex. unless you have a memory foam. and do you have any shows coming up, Stina?
Oh, April 15th? I will be in the... I'll be in the Phoenix Improv Festival.
Ooh!
Yay. On the Thursday. So what is that? Like, is that the 18th?
17th? That is the 16th.
Yeah, so the first night, the Arizona Showcase.
So the day after this comes out, the Arizona Showcase, Thursday, go out to the Phoenix Improv Festival at the Herberger Theater. Check out Stina Sieg. She's very funny.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you. And the theme song you heard at the beginning of the show was written by Mike Dennison and Brian Kokernak. You can find them at headrush.net and beaday.com. B as in B. Arthur. And they're Golden Girls super fans. The music is from the Busy Bee app, B as in B. Arthur, in which it's an 8-bit theme. Video game where you play as B. Arthur through Miami palm trees. So download that at the iTunes store. It's really fun. And so also along with our individual Twitters and shows, the podcast is going to have a live podcast on May 4th.
May 3rd.
Sunday, May, let me look, live, I don't have it, May 3rd, yeah, it's May 3rd.
Sunday, May 3rd.
Who else is going to be on that?
We are going to have Zed Phillips is going to be opening, and then we're going to have Sean Collins,
and
Leslie good. Barton.
Leslie. So it's going to be lots of fun. We're going to show the show. Through a projector on the wall, and then we're going to start the podcast. It's going to be so much fun. And you can find Thank You For Being A Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. It's Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, TYFBAP. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, anything that you listen to us on today. And also, we have Facebook, facebook.com/ Thank You For Being A Podcast. And that's it, guys. Thank you guys so much for being here. Yay! Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff the chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.